Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's snowy and cold and icy in Sofia, so I'm living my best life.
That's amazing. It's like the whole world is your ice rink.
Yes.
Yeah, well, the whole world is not my ice rink, but we do have an ice rink in downtown Providence. And every year, with the exception of last year, obviously, they do a very cool tree lighting event where they invite awesome skaters to do a little show. And it's free. And it's, as my mom's boyfriend said, the price was right. So we really enjoyed that. And this year, our friend of the podcast, Jordan, was there, a.k.a. On Ice Perspectives. And I finally got to meet him in person, which was
Yay!
Really sweet. Yeah, so that was really cool. Love to meet friends. And he was there filming. And I got to see – this year was a really star-studded lineup. I got to see Gracie Gold was there and Max Aaron, Sean Rabbit, Rhode Island's own Marissa Castelli. She's like our celebrity, our like, amazing. Oh my gosh, our Olympian. She's so good. Like, okay, so I'm not like a huge Pairs follower, obviously. I did follow when she was at the fucking Olympics because like obviously.
Yeah.
But – now she coaches and she skates singles like at shows and stuff, and she's like the most flexible person on earth, and she's like roughly my age, and her fan spiral is like Jason Brown level flexible.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah, it's wild. She's great. And I'm trying to think who else was there.
You saw a lot of children.
I saw a ton of children. I saw these children do the Polar Express like Theater on Ice like 7 times because I showed up an hour early by mistake, which has never happened to me in my whole life. And as a result, I almost got hypothermia from being out there for so long. But I saw them do it like 18 times. And I was like, I was saying to Jordan, I was like, why am I crying? Like, why am I crying over these children doing Polar Express? I don't understand.
It's always so touching when children do things.
I know. I was worried that they were cold because like a lot of them were out there skating in like little skating leotards and stuff. And I was like, I'm fully in like winter clothes and I'm freezing. You know how sometimes kids are like really resilient to stuff like fatigue?
Yeah.
Do you think that's true of like colds?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if I was hardier when I was like 12.
I personally wasn't because I was a sickly child, but kids at my rank straight up don't care. Especially like the girls who have their like fancy, like sparkly skating pants and stuff. They don't care. They will be wearing their sparkles above.
Oh, speaking of skating
layer.
Pants.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Nancy Kerrigan hosted, and I can't believe I like didn't even lead with Nancy Kerrigan. She wore these awesome pleather leggings and like what? This very comfy, like Gap ad looking cable knit cream sweater. She looked fabulous. She looks
that's
exactly
like
the
what
same
you
as
wear
did.
When you're the protagonist in a Hallmark movie.
She literally, that's exactly the vibe. She looked gorgeous and she was so fun. She's a really good MC. Honestly, she's really charismatic, which like I would expect because she's been hosting her own ice shows for like a bajillion years. But and then she came out and at the end she did a little skate, which I think it was just an improv or something, which it's probably like half improv, half like she gets asked to skate for 30 seconds all the time, I'm sure. And it was a Christmas show. And so they put on Kenny G and it was just her doing like these gorgeous spread eagles and scratch spins. And I was like,
wow.
I think I'm having a past life regression into like me in 1993 at this moment.
Oh, God, that is that evokes such a specific vibe.
It really, truly did. So I'm trying to think, yeah, my mom is still in love with Sean Rabbit, and it's really
good.
Funny because
good for her.
I got there so early that I had like a good quote unquote seat, aka I was just parked like on the boards, like right by the barricade where everyone was sort of like coming and going from the VIP area. So Gracie and Sean kept sneaking by to like go get coffee or whatever, and like I didn't like bother them, but they were just like trying to get past us, and my mom got in Sean Rabbit's way, and then she was like so mortified she wanted to die. And her boyfriend Bill was like, who's that? And I'm like, Bill, that's your competition.
Oh God. Yeah Bill should be worried, I think.
Yeah, but he had a really good time, and I found out that his son used to ice skate for a long time, so I've talked to him about that.
Yes,
and
you must.
The other, what else did I want to say? I wanted to say that Gracie skated to the most depressing music ever, and I was like, good for you. Good for you. You deserve that.
I respect that.
Well, everyone else was like skating to like Buble and like, you know, Joni Mitchell and everything, and she got out there and she was skating to like the traditional like indie girl singer singing about how I'm such a problem, I'm such a mess, and I'm like, good. This is what Christmas is about too.
sometimes, often, this is how you feel on Christmas, and that's fine.
Yeah. And I think my favorite part was the way that all the, like, I say quote unquote old guard, and they're all like roughly my age, but like, you know, the previous generation of skaters, like, yeah, like exactly, like Gracie and Sean and Max and Marissa. And I say this as though I've like met any of them and I'm on a first name basis, but whatever. Them doing their warm up ice and like, you know, doing little like sections of their programs for Jordan and just like taking their quote unquote like 6 minute warm up before everybody else got there. And the vibe was so charming and fun because like, I've only ever seen warm-ups at competitions because when you go to ice shows, they usually don't, like, they do it before you get there. Like, if you go to, like, Stars on Ice or something. And they were all just kind of, like, goofing off. And, like, when they would mess up, they would, like, laugh at each other and, like, joke around. And it was just, like, a nice environment to contrast with, you know, if you mess up in warm-ups at a competition, it's like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? It was just fun.
Yeah, I always really enjoy skating outside of the context of having to earn points.
But yeah, no, so it was really fun. And a lot of like big cities do that. I mean, I think they've probably already happened by now by the time this is coming out because it's going to be like full on like Christmas season. But a lot of cities do like a tree lighting and they'll invite like someone who's been to the Olympics. And if you can get to those, you should because they're really fun.
God, that sounds like so much fun. My only outdoor skating update is that I have a rink at the park right next to my house, which is open. It's a 5 minute walk from my apartment, and I've been so busy that I haven't been able to go yet, but I'm trying to go on Friday morning when, because I work in the afternoon, and I'm so excited because I think it's gonna be empty. So that's not, it's not Olympic level exciting, but
no, but it's like so real though, because my rink also opened on December 1st, and then, like, I just didn't get to it to skate yet. I've only been there to watch this this show.
Yeah.
But I've been really looking forward to, like, whatever day the weather is right and I can get my ass out of bed and stretched and into skates in downtown before school gets out. Because that's my thing. It's, like, I don't want to be there when kids are there because they scare me.
Yep. Kids are terrifying when they skate. And also just in general. Hey, do you want to talk about the Grand Prix?
We should, but one last thing I want to say is that whenever I see live skating, I always end up really inspired to skate myself. And this time, which I want to impart to you and all of you listeners, I've been really afraid to get back on the ice because I haven't skated at all since before like lockdown, March 2020. Mm-hmm. And I've been nervous about that. But then I saw this little ice show, and during warmups, everybody fell, like, because it was like, you know, whatever, everybody was just goofing off. And I was like, you know what? In front of my own eyes, like less than 10 feet from me, I just saw Gracie Gold fall on her butt on this ice. And so if I fall on my butt on this ice, that's okay too.
You will have connected butts on this
ice. I wasn't going to say that, but like, sure.
I mean, like spiritually.
Spiritually touch butts with an Olympian. Fall on the ice. Put that on a poster. Let's talk about the Grand Prix.
Let's talk about the Grand Prix. This is our Ross Telecom episode, and let me tell the people some stuff. First of all, we are talking about the Ross Telecom 2021, which did happen. We've been late with this episode because we've been waiting to see what the world is like. As of right now, the Grand Prix final has been postponed. And also the other thing is we are not doing a Patreon episode to complement this one. We're just going to say everything we have to say right here because it's our last Grand Prix event.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always in favor of canceling things, canceling plans, canceling
celebrities. So you're saying you support cancel culture?
I support cancel culture when it comes to like events. because I love it. It's a great feeling. But as much as I love canceling everything, especially if it's for the safety of people, I was a little bummed, you know. I'm not saying they shouldn't have canceled / postponed, depending on who you ask, the Grand Prix final. But it did, you know what it felt like, Netta? It felt like that Vine or TikTok or whatever of that guy who's like running with a skateboard and you think he's gonna get on the skateboard but he just keeps running off into the distance.
Yes.
Like I just feel edged. I feel like there was no closure with this at all.
We're 10 minutes into this and we've already made the statement that we feel edged by the Grand Prix final or lack thereof. And honestly, Hi, you listeners. This is our brand.
Can we talk about how this is our
51st episode?
It's our 51st episode, but it also occurred to me that we've only done one Grand Prix final on this show because of events.
Because of the world. Yeah, it's insane. We've been doing this for literal years and Grand Prix finals just refuse to happen.
Yeah, and that includes the fabled Lost episode that we recorded, and then we're like, this is terrible, we don't know how to make a podcast.
It was 5 hours of recording.
I hate that version of us. I hate those people.
So verbose.
Like, how could we be more verbose than
so anyway, now that we're not that verbose, first of all, for real, hi new listeners, I know there's some of y'all there. This is a comedy podcast. We make jokes and we are not extremely technical, and you are going to have fun. You're going to have fun.
You better. That is a threat. So we're going to start with the ladies. As we all know, or maybe don't know, we've kind of just been abiding by a policy recently of like, we're sort of over talking about skaters who skate for Sambo because we're not trying to like passively endorse what is just clearly like a gnarly situation where every week it's more people who are like, hi, I'm like 14 and disabled because of this witch that made me do flips. So yeah, we're not gonna like dignify that by coverage of stuff that we're not super into anyway. And that was a lot of what that was.
Yeah. So as for the podium, it was mostly predictable. No one was surprised by any of it. I do want to talk about the empress of the entire universe, Elizaveta Tuktomysheva, who did win silver, and it continues to just be so gratifying to, despite all of that stuff, see her and her training and her old age of like 24 continue to excel. And I feel like we've talked a lot about her recently. We've been lucky enough that she's been doing well and we can talk about her. I want to remind you and our listeners that I had complained about the Middle Eastern vague music/arms/entire situation. And this is so important to me. We actually have a rebuttal from a listener. Can you talk to me about that?
Sure. One of our amazing patrons, Samira, actually wrote to us, and we got her permission to read the response on the show because it was just fantastic and funny and we couldn't have done any better. So the following is listener mail. Very exciting. So Samira says, hi guys, had to pause the pod just to address one thing in defense of Liza Tuktomysheva's free program, a treatise, all caps. We love an academic paper. I'm an Arab and I grew up being invited to many an Arab wedding, which is also how I learned to dance. Liza's choreo, her quote, vaguely Middle Eastern arms, unquote, it's so similar to the kind of dancing your great auntie Reem does at your cousin Layla's wedding, where three other cousins you never knew could play the hand drums suddenly get right into making some sick syncopated beats. Parentheses, wedding parties are single gender affairs, so the atmosphere is very loose. Liza does a better job at capturing that spirit than any of the, and this is in triple quotations, Oriental programs I've seen. And I think a part of it is precisely because it's not very studied. It's intuitive. She understands the vibe. Again, can't emphasize enough. Do I think she did the research? No. But I think it's okay to love the program for what it is, which is a whole vibe. Obviously, I can only speak for myself and not the whole Middle East. But like, I was sus about the program and now I love it. It's very easy to see myself in Liza, which is maybe why we stand so hard. Yours in solidarity of very exhaustedly watching every Grand Prix event this season, Samira.
Samira, thank you so much for writing this.
Thank you so much.
It just brings me joy. I've read this letter several times and it just makes me laugh. Also, your description of Arabic weddings reminds me so intensely of the way Balkan weddings happen as well. We share a lot of like the rhythm and the pure chaos of your fifth cousin showing up, suddenly being able to play a hand drum.
Irish weddings are not like that. I'm sorry. Irish weddings are like, what's going to happen first? Your teenage cousin is going to throw up, or your cousin in their 20s is going to rip their pants. Like,
what? That's devastating.
It's sloppy. It's like, what if instead of like a lot of culture, the only culture that showed up at the wedding was just being drunk?
I mean, we do that, but we also do a lot of like the partying.
Right. There's also other stuff.
We should crash a wedding when you're here. We should find a wedding to go to.
Yeah, that sounds safe and fun.
So anyway, this is literally all I have to say about this podium is Samira is funnier than us. and thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Samira. And it's like, this is what I'm talking about, where I really love it when people sort of push back against like my initial impressions of a program, because then watching Lisa do this at Restellacom, having read this letter beforehand, I felt like I was able to appreciate it more because like watching it through this lens, as it were, to use our like artsy fartsy speak. It's true. I appreciated that like there was that looseness there. And I think obviously in addition to the elephant in the room of colonization and appropriation and all of that, a lot of what does make these sort of like Arab vague programs awkward is that they're so stiff and studied. And I guess I didn't really like see that angle on it before, but it's super true that it's, yeah, it's a tradition of dance that is very like flowy and intuitive, and it's awkward to see like somebody do it as though it's like
classical. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So seeing that she was having fun with it, I was like, yeah, I get it. Okay. This I can see why this is like a cut above the rest.
Yeah, I buy that. I understand that. And I guess it is kind of something that I hadn't realized I watched for in any program inspired by any culture of dance, is that a lot of the approach to choreography is very like clinical and clean and precise, because that's what the rest of the sport is like. And it's interesting to kind of be aware of when like the genuine like instinct behind it can actually make it, well, better. More palatable.
Yeah, and I think obviously context dependent, a little bit of like having fun, going off joy goes a long way with pretty much anything. Like I'm thinking just in general to programs where somebody is performing music and dance of another culture. And when they really appear to be having fun with it, I actually pretty much across the board like it more. Because I think it, along with that like weird clinical stiffness, goes this thing of like, oh, it's foreign, it's so different, we don't know what they even think when they dance. And it's like, no, dancing is like fun for everyone pretty much.
Yeah, we don't know what they think is such a like weird colonialist approach to any culture that's not yours. Like it's icky. I'm not into it.
Yeah, Lisa understands that like shaking your hips and like being the worst dancer at the party but make it sexy is a thing that exists across all cultures across the entire planet Earth.
That's Amen. Why she's the Empress of the Universe. She unites us all.
Correct. I love it. I really
do. Should
we
do some quick the rest of this? The non-podium of this?
Yeah, the non-podium of it all. So yeah, like usually the last several Grand Prix episodes we've been doing this on Patreon, but
we're just doing this now because we didn't talk about this podium, and also because it's our last Grand Prix episode, so why the fuck not? I will say that Mariah Bell came in fourth, and she was third in the short program, and she did beautifully. It was only her second international comp of the season, technically, and she traveled straight from France to Russia. She didn't have time to like go home and like fix or improve on things. And I thought she did amazing, and I love her very much.
I agree. I think she did gorgeously. And I think I've been very critical of River Flows in You. And then I heard a cover the other day that I really liked by this like Korean rock band that I'm into. So I'm just like, okay, fine. I guess I just needed to hear it played by a twink on a purple rock guitar.
Yeah,
which I think
I feel like you
astutely said is, yeah.
Yeah. Every song in the world can be approved by a twink with a purple rock guitar, actually.
Yeah. The band is called One We, if you want to check it out. O-N-E-W-E. Mariah Bell did a great job.
Mariah Bell did a great job. Something I keep forgetting that I want to say about her as of recently is that I very much relate to everything she's been doing with her hair, because she cut, like, the majority of her hair, and now she's doing a lot of, like, tying a small ponytail into a bigger ponytail into a bigger ponytail, because that's the only thing you can do to keep your hair off your face when it's a certain length. And I find it very charming and very relatable.
I have a couple things to say about Mariah. One, I had a dream last night that she completely snapped and was like swearing and telling off the press. And it was so iconic.
Amazing.
It's probably not going to happen in real life, but I was really into it at the time. Second thing I want to say, her man, I Feel Like a Woman, stunning. Also, I grew up with that song. That album was like very much part of my youth. My dad had a huge crush on Shania Twain because he looks like my mom, which was very sweet. But she looks, did I say he looks like my
yes,
mom? She
did.
Looks like my mom. My dad and my mom did not really resemble each other, but my mom, young Mary Beth looked like young Shania Twain. So
amazing.
But yeah, so I grew up with that album, and I've listened to Man, I Feel Like a Woman 100,000 times. And I had it on the other day. I had like a 90s playlist on, And I actually like really listened to the lyrics for the first time. And I finally put together for the first time in my life that when she says men in shirts and short skirts, she doesn't mean that literally. She means like, we are so unladylike that we are acting as though we are men, even though we are wearing these things. And I was so upset because I really thought since I was a child that it's a song about a bunch of girls going out to a drag bar.
Well, I like your interpretation better. And I think in 2021, man, I feel like a woman can be an exploration of gender queerness and cross-dressing and going to a drag bar, etc.
We did like a lip syncing competition at my friend's birthday party once in like sixth or seventh grade, and me and a couple other girls did Man I Feel Like a Woman in like boy drag, and then we like changed to girl drag, and I was like, oh my Amazing. God, I guess I have performed drag, and
yes,
we won.
Yes.
So that's, I think I just always thought that was a very like draggy number, but
I literally cannot talk about this on a recorded piece of media about Mariah's program. I cannot.
Okay, cool. Well, so just like insert here us talking about it in a God-honoring way and pretend that was part of what you received in this recording.
Amen.
Amen. Luna Hendricks.
Luna Hendricks is a marvel. She makes me so excited about European figure skating.
Right? And like, of course, given everything we said about Lisa, we have to address the fact that she has like, her, what is her free skate? It's like Oriental Remix or something.
Oh,
it's like
God.
A very weird.
Yeah, I don't even remember.
It's a weird thing to, I don't know. I think, I truly have no idea, and I'm very white, but like, I think that it's one of those things that in some cultures, it's not as offensive as in other cultures. But like, I still think that if you're performing something internationally, that so someone at some point should say something.
Yep.
But I mean, do I think that she and her brother are like horrible racists? No, I think that it's just like a dumb ignorance miscommunication thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I don't think it's even occurred to this team. But yeah, but it's still, I don't endorse it, but in general, her entire trajectory is so exciting to me. I have very high hopes for her at Euros now. It's just a good story.
Truly a good story. And I will say, I actually really love the costume at the free skate. The idea of like just totally nude with gold.
Yes.
It's very like Britney Spears with a snake. Like I'm obsessed.
Yeah, that dress is stunning. It's probably one of my favorite costumes this year. It reminds me of that one dress that Madison Chalk has, which is kind of similar, but it's like nude and white, and it just looks like it's holding on to the body by magic. And I always think like a well done nude illusion can be so gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's interesting because like, sorry to keep coming back to Lisa, but I mean, she is the Empress, so like we just she has a gravitational pull. Her weird costume with the turquoise flaps, it baffles me because sometimes I think when you do a nude illusion that's like kind of a bikini and kind of bandages and kind of like that whole situation, it bothers me a little when it creates an illusion of a dress that would not have any structural integrity if it didn't have a nude underbodice. And I think
enjoy
that then
sometimes.
It bothers me if they don't take it far enough. Like that for me doesn't take it far enough. Mm-hmm. That for me looks like an oversight of like somebody forgetting what a dress looks like. I think you need to take it full, like Luna Hendricks, like I am just covered in sparkles.
I enjoy when there is no physical way for a garment to exist other than like some very good craftsmanship and maybe magic.
Maybe magic. Speaking of magic, Madeline Skeezus.
Madeline Skeezus. She had a bit of a rough time in the free, but I'm such a huge fan. She is so precious. She is so little. Like, the fact that she can look tiny, just, like, in a lineup of figure skaters, all of whom are comparatively tiny, is mind-blowing to me. And also, I enjoy her skating because my brain works while she skates.
Oh, yeah, because she spins backwards like
yes,
you, or
she's
forwards,
one of us.
Depending
she's
on your
one of us.
Perspective. She just seems really cool.
Yeah.
She ate the ice cream. And for me, it's like anybody who acknowledged that there was ice cream in the Kiss and Cry and even went so far as to eat it, or in Mariah's case, try to stockpile it for later. Like, good for you. Acknowledge that, you know? Use your props. Like, the theater part of me was like, there's props here. Use them.
Yeah, right? I do want to say real quick, speaking of the ice cream, there is a chain of, like, Russian supermarkets in Bulgaria, and they do carry this ice cream, and I have tried it, and it is very nice. It's a very good, just like classic vanilla ice cream, like the soft kind. It's like really just like poofy and creamy. So everyone who tried it was in for a treat, really.
Yeah, it looked good. And I found out recently that Madeline Skeezus is also like an accomplished musician, and she plays the piano and she sings and she teaches music to kids. And like, insane. I don't know. I was a little bit like, okay, well, like I do music and I can't do a triple axel. So like now I'm not impressive. Like, fuck me, I guess. But no, but I actually was like, I think you can really tell when someone who skates like also plays an instrument. It's not a requirement, because I think you can have an understanding of music without being a like musician. But I think after learning that and then watching her skate again, I was like, oh yeah, she gets it. She gets like phrasing and like tension and release. Like, you can tell.
Amazing. She's so cool. I think in the past couple of years we've been, I mean, I say it every time, but I think there's such a bright future for Canadian women's figure skating. And it makes me very happy and very excited.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of Caitlin Osmond appreciation kind of just going around on Twitter, or at least the circles I frequent. And so it's been nice to, like, see that and then also think, like, hey, Maddie's doing great, too.
Yes. Reino Matsueki continues to be precious.
She's really the only skater who could get away with the stuff that she does regarding, like, extreme happy faces and prancing.
Well, we're about to talk about Ekaterina Kurikova as well. And she used to be able to do that. She's kind of growing out of it now, I guess.
Yeah, I think I consider them in a different class, because I consider Reino to be, like, a kid and Ekaterina to be like a woman, and I don't know what the distinction there is, but I think it's just in terms of like the style of the program that they skate. Maybe I think Reno also has like braces, or at least has the aura of someone who has braces, and so braces, I do feel aura. Like I'm watching braces vibes. Yeah, but yeah, Ekaterina is always lovely to watch, and like, yes, it's been an up and down season for her, but like, just gorgeous all the time.
She's always delightful, and it's so funny to me that no one has bothered to change her the title card that says that she's about to do her medley, and it's very much not that.
Oh my god, did that still show up on the ISU stream? Because Peacock finally got rid of it at Restellacom, and I was low-key sad.
I might be lying, I might be Mandela affecting myself, but I feel like the ISU stream has not bothered.
I love, like, I say, like, oh gosh, why hasn't anybody noticed anything about, like, you know, the title of Luna Hendrix's thing? And then I'm thinking, like, this is the level of clerical error that is getting missed in the ISU. So, like, why do I expect anything else? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's probably all run out of, like, some woman named Bev's office and, like, a 1950s card catalog wooden shelf with, like, drawers. Like, that's what I'm picturing the bureaucracy of the ISU right now.
It's straight up just, it's the bad place. Yeah. The ISU is the bad place.
That's probably very accurate.
Evelotta Kibos was there, and she didn't do great. She's been having an up-and-down time. She ended up in silver at the Estonian Nationals, which is wild for the girl who won, I guess.
Well, so, okay, couple things. One, I love her anyway.
Yes,
but like,
I mean, yeah.
I love her even more now because I find her really, really, like, I find her relatable in terms of her fucking wildly wide inconsistency range.
Yeah.
Like, who among us has not failed so hard and also, like, succeeded so
aggressively
in a way that has just baffled everyone around them, and probably also her.
Yeah, I relate to it. I think she is fantastic and extremely talented, and she's just been having a bit of a time. And I think things can only go up from here.
Yeah, and I think also the girl who won gold, who I want to give her a proper
shout. Her name is Nina, and I can't remember her last name. Her name is Nina.
Well, I tried to click on Estonia hoping that it would give me Estonian figure skating, and it just gave me the country, so I'm like, great, that didn't.
Her name is Nina Petrokina.
Right, and didn't she transfer from a different country?
No, she's always been. She's extremely Estonian.
No way. I'm confusing her with like, the Sambo Exodus. Okay, because I was going to say I would be mad if somebody, like, I mean, not that, like nationalism is fake and nations are fake and whatever, but, like, I would probably still be a little peeved on a petty level if somebody came in from another country, naturalized into my country, and then beat me. Not as an Estonian citizen, but if I was Evelotta, I would be mad if I was, like, the best in my country and then. But at the same time, like, I truly have no opinions on, like, you should stay with your original country. Like, fuck it. Do whatever you want. Who cares?
Yeah, like, fucking show up to any federation that will have you and skate for them and be outstanding. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, game the system, because it's stacked against you anyway. Who cares? My favorite book is The Left Hand of Darkness, so I obviously don't believe in the concept of nations anyway.
No borders, no kings. Let's talk about boys? We're not doing a break. Let's talk about boys.
Yeah, not really. If you want to support us on Patreon, we're still deciding what we want to do for this month's episode. We might end up just watching Yuri on Ice again like we do every Christmas. But if you want to check us out there, patreon.com/icetpod, and you have access to over 2 years of backlogged content, including the bonus episodes of the past Grand Prix season where we talked about everyone who didn't get on the podium at each event.
Yes. Let's talk about this boys' podium. In bronze, we have Kazuki Tamano, the victim of the biggest robbery since season 2 of Drag Race.
Right? Like, I'm horrified by this. I'm horrified that this happened. I love that he too was horrified and just kept bitching about it on Instagram. Like,
good
I'm sorry,
him,
there's a time
honestly.
There's a time and a place where, like, you actually really should be pissed in a public forum.
Yeah, it was gratifying, though, because I feel like everyone was mad.
He won the Wakaba Higuchi Award of winning the popular vote across the board.
Yeah, everyone was like, I couldn't fathom when he was fifth in the free skate. Like, I saw the score come up, and I thought it was a mistake.
It's just so frustrating because it's like he won the short
and it
was just this like amazing upset of like, oh my gosh, what's happening? He did so beautifully. And for those of us who've been standing Kazuki for like this entire Olympic quad, it's been such a journey of him like finding his confidence. And, you know, it's just gorgeous because he's so wonderful to watch and he's expressive in a way that like you just really don't see that often in any of the fields. So it was irritating to see him get robbed like that. I loved, of all people, like for some reason Megan Duhamel like popping off about how mad she was about it was so funny to me. I was like, yes, good.
Yeah.
I mean, not that she's like reserved about being publicly angry about things, but like I respect her.
Yeah, it's always fun when you see like competitors or former competitors like interacting with, say, Jackie on Twitter and just being like, yeah, that was bullshit. I'm like, yes, it's true and you should say it. I hope Kazuki takes this medal with pride and also uses the very righteous bitchiness to just propel him forward because he's already undeniable and there's only so much you can do to like stifle that.
Yeah, it's just like, I hope he and Wakaba lead the revolution, to be honest.
Full like Les Mis fantasy, but it's Kazuki and Wakaba just being like, we're over this, like you'll have eyes, we're over this.
It's interesting that this phenomenon of like the person winning and the person who won the popular vote, quote unquote, being so starkly different and everybody agreeing, it happens once in a while, right? And it just feels like it's just been happening every single time more and more and more, and it's like accelerating, and I'm like, wow, this is an interesting time.
It's also very much, I mean, it's very much related to the schools of thought and training that we are actively not talking about. It's very much, I feel like the time of all of this bullshit is running out very, very quickly. Or at
I
least
hope
that's
so.
My hope. Yeah.
I hope so, and I hope that it's not, I don't know. I don't like frequent. I don't hang out on skating Twitter a whole lot, just because it's like a work life thing. But I do see random stuff come across my timeline because I like a lot of my friends are into figure skating. And so I don't know. I think that one attitude I've been seeing that makes me really sad is that like, oh, this sport is over. I don't know how we can fix it. It's just like broken. And so
I feel like people who are like that should fucking get over it. This is defeatist quitter talk. And this is how things you like get ruined, is when you let yourself view them like that. And that goes from anything from figure skating to fucking climate change. Like, stop bitching and do something about it.
Yeah, I agree. And, like, I think I forget that, like, most people who have figure skating Twitters are literally just, like, bitching to no one or, like, one friend. And so it's not, like, a public statement they're making. And so I'm like, if this is your place to vent, then that's fine. But, yeah,
it makes me a safe space to talk about the death of a sport that's been around for over 100 years. It's fine.
Well, it makes me sad to see people feel like that because I get that but sometimes. But, yeah, I hope that that's – I don't think that's the case. And I think that it kind of is what we make it. So I hope that those of us who are still sort of, like –
It makes me feel insane, though, when people are like that, especially if it's people who, like, really stan someone from, like, the past couple of Olympic cycles, and they're like, oh, things are never gonna be like that again anymore, and the sport's dying, and blah, 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 blah. Because there's a lot that's broken with the sport, and there's a lot that's broken with scoring and with the things that we enable with coaches and all of that. But there's also so many talented, cool people who are doing revolutionary things. And I think it's fucking disrespectful towards this newer generation of athletes to be like, well, guess sport's over. Everyone, pack it up. Like, get over yourself. My God.
Yeah. Or, like, if it's not enjoyable for you, you don't have to watch anymore. But, like, I think that as long as it's enjoyable, then, you know,
also, literally, YouTube is free. If you just want to watch old shit, you can go back and watch the old shit.
That's true. And people were always getting robbed in unfair ways. Like,
oh, my God. Right?
Remember Jenna Kim? Remember that?
Oh. Can you imagine if Twitter was a thing back then?
Yeah. Like, it was, but at the same time, it wasn't.
No. But, like, if Twitter was a thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, a capital. Yeah, Jesus.
Like, if skating Twitter was a thing. My God.
You know what's funny is that I have seen on some old defunct Twitter account that I don't have anymore. Like, I was live tweeting that Olympics just for, like, myself. And so I know that it was happening, but if any of you were, like, actually on, like, capital S, capital T skating Twitter, or the whatever the equivalent was at the time, like, let us know what it was like. Was it insane, or was the internet just different?
Yeah, please let me know. Let's talk about Mikhail Kaleda, who has done better.
Yeah, I always want to see him succeed. And I did think his Schindler was very, very beautiful insofar as it, like, can be, considering it's kind of an awkward Schindler. But yeah, he did a great job with it. I don't know.
Because I'm finding it very hard to stan him this season, and he's being precious on the internet. Like, he's talking about his wife and his cat and, like, being a good human, I guess.
That video of him talking about his wife and his cat, like, you need to find that and watch it if you are ever, well, I was gonna say if you're having a bad day, because it will cheer you up. However, I can speak from experience that I was already having a bad day when I watched that, and then I found it so emotional and wholesome that I then cried, like, 6 separate times about it over the next 2 days. So, like, maybe wait till you're in a stable place, because that's how pure and wholesome and beautiful it is.
So, it's very pure and wholesome and beautiful, but at the same time, I feel like I'm watching a person I like make choices that I'm not super into, and I'm finding it hard to continue to, like, be as excited as I would be if he was doing Nureyev, if he, you know?
Yeah. But we'll see what happens at Russian Nationals, I guess.
Oh, my God. I'm not prepared for Russian Nationals. It's going to be a fucking bloodbath. Maybe literally. I don't know.
It's kind of a Christmas tradition now, that and Japanese Nationals. Yes. Like, it's become part of my holiday tradition.
Same. Honestly, yeah. I'm excited about it. And actually I'm looking forward to Russian Nationals, because it's gonna be crazy.
Truly.
I'm not gonna talk about Morrissey, who won gold, because he does fall under my personal veto of talking about sambo skaters. I will say that this is hard for me, because he is my Georgian boyfriend, and he has been for about 2 years now.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. We're very happy. However, it's complicated right now because I'm boycotting his entire existence and he doesn't know I exist. So it's hard. But I mean...
The programs are ugly.
Yeah, I just don't get it. And his PCS was insane. And I respect the boy. God bless him. But this is crazy. I will say it's been... Okay, everything aside, like, his camp aside, and the fact that this was bullshit robbery aside, he's been, because I follow him on Instagram, he's been sharing so many things of, like, people being like, this is the first Georgian man to ever, like, win an event of that, like, size and importance in figure skating, and, like, this is such a big medal for the country and all of that. And as someone who comes from a small fed, I'm like, I can't even imagine, like, what that feels like, and that's so fucking cool and exciting. But also, it's the same thing as we just talked about with Misha. It's like, I wish he could have done that under different circumstances.
Yeah, it's really, really hard for me to, like, I'm so sorry to say this, and it's...
Sorry to Georgia.
I'm so sorry to this man in this country, but it's really hard for me to not feel that that's, like, a little hollow, because it's very difficult for me to believe that that was fully justly earned based on what I saw with my eyes.
Yeah.
It felt like when you're at a birthday party and there's, like, a fucking, like, treasure hunt and, like, someone wins, but then, like, the birthday boy wins more. And it's except instead of it being his birthday, it was like just the place he trains.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I have to say about it. It's fucked up. And I wish the country of Georgia many a success that's not like this. Hey, do you want to talk about some other boys?
Sure. I was just going to say it's nice that I now have like an association with the country of Georgia that's not the origin of the Georgia flu in Station 11, which is a book that I just don't think I can ever read again. It used to be my favorite book, but it's about a global pandemic and it was written like 5-6 years ago and it did not age well. Poor Emily St. John Mandel. My God. Anyway,
Roman Sadowski continues to be gorgeous. This was a much better showing for him. He skated wonderfully. He was third in the short. I am so proud of this boy. First Me of all, too. For his skating. And secondly, because he has taken the note that he looks wonderful in pink. And he's just running with it. He has his pink training gloves and the beautiful pink costume. And he just looks so beautiful in it.
The yassification of Roman Sadowski. Is that anything?
I mean, it would be, but he's always kind of been yassified. Actually,
he came out of the womb a little bit yassified.
It's the Slavic blood in him. We're all just yassified all the time.
Yeah, no, it's so nice to see him do so well. It still continues to be very, very stressful who's going to make the men's Canadian Olympic team. Maybe one of the most stressful question marks about Olympic qualification on my mind,
it's
period.
That and the American women's team are the two that are keeping me personally up at night.
Yeah, I would say that's probably right. But Roman made a really strong case for himself. Mm. And I, for one, can't... Poor kid. Like, imagine being named Roman, like, while Succession is really blowing up. And, like, it was a really cool random name before. And now it's just, like, people probably just, like, put on the Brian Cox voice. And you're like, Roman! Like, all the time.
I don't go there. I've not seen an episode of Succession. I simply refuse to because I've been told it's bad people being bad to each other and I don't care for that.
Oh, I think it's really funny.
However, I did see a tweet that was like, oh my God, next time it's all going to be about Roman sexual dysfunction. And for half a second, my brain was like, what?
It is a really funny game to play with yourself if you go on Succession Twitter and pretend that every Roman tweet is about Roman Sadowski. Like, sorry to this man. I'm so sorry, Roman Sadowski. But it is funny if you get it to confuse yourself a little bit sometimes.
Oh, God. I know nothing about Succession. But I do know Roman Sadowski, and I do know that I stand very hard, and whatever the other Roman is, fuck him.
He's not a great person. You know who is a great person?
Matteo Rizzo. Oh my God. Here's the thing. He popped up in his free so hard that he was second in the free skate, which helped him climb up from, honestly, a very rough short, which was just not good. But that is the power of being Italian.
Yeah, Matteo is another one who has kind of learned how to harness his expressiveness, which feels like a joke to say about an Italian person, but like, I don't even mean it as a joke. I mean, like, I think he's had programs in the past, like when he had his queen program at Euros, that was such a triumph because he was so into it. And then subsequently, like, I don't know. I think he had trouble connecting to the La La Land and like some of the other programs he's had since. But it seems like he's just so connected to his Måneskin and his Two Men in Love that it's finally like, yes, this is the Matteo that we've been wanting to see consistently. So it's really nice to see him bring that.
Had full body chills watching him do his free skate.
I was like literally crying. I
wept, and then my roommate wasn't home when I watched when it happened. So then I like sat him down and I was like, you have to see this. It's such a special program and it's such a special performance of it. And just with like his coaching team, like fucking celebrating as he's doing it because they know he's nailing it and it's so beautiful and it's so fucking expressive. And like the last minute and a half of it are just, it's masterfully done. I think it's in my top like 10 of performances in recent history of just like quintessential, like this is how skating should make you feel.
Absolutely. Like, I think it's a good one to add to the playlist of like introducing people, indoctrinating people, as it were. I also think it's notable that I remember a few years ago when Dennis was doing Two Men in Love, he had like a backup program that he did in countries like Russia, which were more homophobic. And so I thought it was notable that Mateo did Two Men in Love in Russia and came in second in the free with it. So, I mean, that's like a nice step forward.
Yeah, I mean, Russia is still extremely broken politically.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. I'm not saying Russia is any better than it was, but I think it's nice to see that it could work in Russia.
God bless him. Should we talk about our friend Camden?
We should. We were so proud of him. He did so very well.
He did. It was just such a parade of like beautifully expressive boys at this event.
It was. I want every event in my entire life for the rest of my life to be a parade of beautifully expressive boys.
Just anything you go to the DMV and it's a parade of beautifully expressive boys.
That's like the premise of that Olivia Rodrigo song, right?
Yes, that is what that song is about. Driver's license, yes.
He just did so well. The short was better than the free, but both were like very well. And I think that even the free was very good, and it was just a matter of it being like an insane field and a weird event overall.
Honestly, yeah. I do really, really, really love Moulin Rouge for him. I think we've talked about it several times. Like, you think certain scores are like untouchable or whatever, but I think his Come With Me is very, very, very pretty. And again, he's very expressive, so it works.
I think that Moulin Rouge has entered a stage of warhorsiness where it was like, it used to be a go-to just because it was like popular and everyone was doing it. And then it reached a point probably around like the Virtue Moir Event Horizon where it became so iconic that the bar was raised. And then after that, I think we've entered an era where you very rarely see people do Moulin Rouge who aren't right for it. Yeah. Now, that said, I think at this event we did get the crazy Vocaloid chain-smoking female Roxanne screaming one, which scares me every time.
Yes, we did.
I thought maybe the pandemic wiped that song out, but ugh, nope. Some things never die. I will say, the ones we are seeing this season, like Lemon Sue and Camden, are two examples of really, really, really good ones that it's like, yeah, you've earned your right to do this. You're selling it, and so I like it.
I agree. Do you want to talk to me about your KG?
About my KG? Yeah, mine. Clearly, I've met him and exist. I don't exist is the implication here, which is who knows.
That's terrifying to me personally as a person who spent the past hour talking to you.
Ooh.
Oh, fuck.
Sorry, I'm not a ghost. Hey, whatever happened to Carmen? She hasn't been around in a long time. Is she okay? Oh, duh.
Carmen might still be in my childhood bedroom, but I just don't live with her anymore. She hasn't followed me.
Netta?
Yes.
You like literally cut out while you were saying that, and I'm like,
no. Okay. Hi, Carmen.
So listen, for listeners, I don't even want to say new listeners. I feel like Carmen was from like the very beginning of this podcast. That she was a ghost that we named her Carmen because that was the year everyone did Carmen, and she used to haunt the podcast and like give us audio issues. And it was clearly that, and not the fact that we were like new at podcasting and stuff.
I just got a full body chill though.
Maybe Carmen moved with you.
She might have followed me, honestly. Also, there is a mirror right behind me, and I'm afraid to turn around right now.
Yeah, we need to move on because I'm getting spooked now. But
no, she's a very benevolent spirit. She's very kind and good.
She's a queen. KG, yeah, he had a bad time. I just would love to see the man have a really good competition. I think, like, I don't know. Contrary to popular belief, I've never spoken to him and don't know him at all. So I don't know if it's... No, huh. I don't know if it's psychological or what, but, you know, the joppery was back and I don't know. He's just such a beautiful, beautiful skater. Like, he's part of the parade of expressive boys. He might be like I was gonna say the ringmaster. That's a circus. What's the ringmaster of a parade?
He's on the grandmaster.
He's on the float. He's on the float and he's like waving with his like cool JoJo hands. He's JoJo posing on a float is what's happening.
Died as he lived, JoJo posing on a float.
Yeah, you hate to see it, but I do love that, again, like, among the skating voices in the community who I really respect and think have good opinions, everybody is kind of universally like, he really is, like, one of the best, most expressive skaters in terms of entertainment, and his PCS is pretty much always where it deserves to be, even when the tech scores aren't there. So, like, you love to see credit given where it's due sometimes, even if it can't happen all the time.
He is the greatest showman, and I'm not just saying that because that's the title of a film that we don't like. He just fucking gets it. And even when he's like having a bit of a rough skate, he can always just like recenter and like still fucking perform.
Yeah, and like not to jinx it, but he always does pretty well at Japanese nationals. So maybe he'll come back. Who's to say? I'm knocking on wood ferociously right now.
Hell yes. I want to close this out by talking about Mikhail Brezhina, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Why would I ever mind?
Well, quick shout out to Brennan Carey, who was there, and I miss when he was a Dadaist, like, chaos gang. He's, like, soft indie boy this year, and I...
And he's doing it very well, I will say. Like, he is showing the range. It's just less notable, because a lot of people are soft indie boys.
It's just, I don't need to leave a light on. I miss
It's already on, because we've already been told many times to leave it on, so it's, like, getting
nagged at this point. Like, are you paying my bills?
Yeah, like... Oh man, that tickled me. Yeah, talk to me about Mikhail Brezhina.
How Brezhina?
They kept calling him something else, like Brezhina or something. Like they were saying the wrong thing consistently all weekend, and it was really something.
I just, for as long as I fucking live, will not vibe with anyone else the way I vibe with him. I get it. And I know it's, like, the meme to be like, LOL, it's dad rock and, like, whatever. It's, like, a dad at, like, a barbecue. I think it's sexy. I think he pulls it off. I think no one else could pull it off. I think anyone else trying to do what he's doing would be extremely cringy. But I fucking get it. And I'm into it.
Yeah, it just never misses, does it?
Nope.
Never misses. And it's dad rock. I don't know. I think it's like, I think that the dad rock vibe and being sexy are not mutually exclusive at all. And maybe that's just my 30s.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah. No, the thing is though, like dad rock makes it sound dismissive, makes it sound like he's wearing socks and sandals and grilling in your backyard. And he's not, is the thing.
I wish he was though.
Yeah, honestly, like, I'm digging myself into a hole because whatever I say, I'm like, yeah, he could, yeah, he should be doing that, actually.
I'm looking out the window longingly at my grill right now, like, damn, what if he was here and making me a burger?
Oh, God. Are we done objectifying this man?
Never, but probably for today.
Yeah, I just, it's probably his last season. He's making it incredible. He just skates with the understanding of someone who's been doing this for so long. And we've talked about this. It's like the, even when he makes mistakes, even when it's kind of like a little shaky or something, he skates with the confidence of someone who knows how to like get himself out of that trouble. And also, wait, this is very important. The last thing I want to say is he's been so vocal about working with a therapist.
Yeah.
And I've been obsessed with it because he is... a man in his 30s from a Slavic upbringing. It's a fucking miracle that he's being this upfront about, like, I'm working with a sports psychologist and he's helping me and everyone should be doing that. It's honestly so huge coming from him and knowing that he wants to, like, coach more when he retires and, like, work with the new generation of athletes gives me so much hope. Because seeing that from, like, again, a Slavic person... makes me believe that we can break like so many cycles.
It's honestly so heartwarming and wonderful, and like I just hope he stays a really loud voice in the sport. Like I want to see him like in the kiss and cry with like Olympic athletes 10 yes. 20 years from now, you know, and I think we will. So
yes, my God, I'm excited. I will cry whenever he retires officially, but also I'm very excited. I said that and my first thought was Ted Lasso. My first thought was the Keeley boy retirement scene.
Oh Jesus! Oh no!
And now I need to move on.
I want to say that in the realm of like social media corner, first of all, Team USA and Team Canada went on some sort of like midnight Segway tour or something. Like I could be absolutely misrepresenting this, but it looks like they had just like the best time. I think Camden posted about it. Let me check his Instagram. It might have been a story. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm like so bad at Instagram.
There were a lot of stories of just like everyone with like electric scooters and shit, which was...
It looked really fun.
Yeah, it was delightful. And we know it's been hard for people to not like really get to like sightsee and travel and do all the things you would be doing. So it's always fun when you get to see those like snippets from like inside the bubble of people like actually having fun at events and stuff.
Yeah, and even Kazuki eventually posted like fun touristy things of like, I had a good time. So it's good to see that he wasn't dwelling on his robbery as he had every right to be honest.
Yeah.
The other thing that I guess isn't really social media, it's more like press, but there was that interview with Evgenia Medvedeva.
God fucking, I respect and adore her so much. I'm also obsessed with the fact that she has decided now in this stage of her life and career to just be very loudly a very powerful voice.
Agree. And yes, she's kind of still towing the party line of like, I love my coaches. But maybe I'm just seeing what I want to see, but it feels catty to me in a way that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I think she is unlearning a lot of bullshit. And I think she is becoming just like a fantastic advocate and a fantastic voice. And I'm very excited to have her around because she's saying a lot of shit that a lot of people have not said.
Yeah, and it's also very easy to forget that she's super duper young. She just had a birthday. Was she 22, 23 now? Or maybe not even that old.
I don't know how time works anymore.
Somewhere in her early 20s. I'm sorry, I'm not more, but whatever. It doesn't affect what I'm trying to say, which is that, like, speaking, at least, I can only speak for myself, but I think that around that age of, like, 22, 23 was when I started to get kind of, like, jaded about the way that things had been, like, in my education and upbringing and everything. And I think that that's probably true for a lot of people. So it's important to remember, too, that, like, this is not, like, who she is forever. It's just like another step in the like becoming an adult in the public eye journey. And I love this for her where she is now. I hope that she gets to evolve even more and grow up even more in like a healthy way. I'm sorry that she's like physically disabled now. It's not like a huge surprise, but it's hard to hear her talk about it.
Yeah, it fucking sucks, man. And like this is what we've been talking about. And it just sucks to have it confirmed. And I really, really, really hope she's taking care of herself to like the best of her ability. And yeah, it just sucks.
I do love how vocal she is about still being in touch with Jason Brown and
yes,
staying close with him and how important he was for her journey. Like, I don't know. I think there's a million reasons to love Jason Brown. There's a million reasons to love Jason Brown. But one of them is that by all accounts, it seems like when she came to Brian Orser, what the fuck is it called? Cricket. When she came to Cricket.
Yeah, and curling club
for wayward anxious youths. Jason was also new that year, and yet he saw somebody who was new to this country and like new to this continent because he was also new to the country.
Yeah.
And somebody who I don't know who people I'm projecting, right? But like, she was clearly going through it, and she's the first. Evgenia Medvedeva is the first person to say that she was going through it after the Olympics, and it was pretty clear to all of us that, like, there was a lot going on and still is a lot going on with being a sambo skater. And the fact that he was able to go in and just be like, hey, I've got your back. I'm here to help you is really sweet and brave and, like, caring.
Last time I moved to a continent where I didn't know anyone, we ended up here.
That's true. Yeah, you came to my house and we watched Center Stage.
We did. I was so nervous. I was like, I'm being invited to a place.
You were very early.
I was very early because I have social anxiety.
No, because you walked. And I'm always early when I walk places, too, because I don't know how long it's going
to
take.
The thing is, Megan, I do that every day of my goddamn life. I'm early to my job. Every day now, 6 years later, because I like walking places and I don't know how time works.
Well, I liked that you were early because I felt like you took me seriously and I was worried no one was going to come.
So. We're both insane. Is this an episode?
I think this is an episode. We've had so many wonderful patrons join up recently, and I want to really thank everybody so, so, so much. If you want to join them and like join the pile on, because it's clearly the cool thing to do now, patreon.com/icetpod for bonus episodes and shout outs, which I will do now. We want to thank Natalie, Robert, Kate, Skating Scores, Vox Machina, Adela, Greta, Tryhard Radio, Samantha, Jesse, Kieran, Mary, Jana, Barbara, another awesome Barbara, Sunny, Erin, Aura, Sally, Samira, Joe, KM, in spirit, I'm always throwing plushies out of Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, Danny, and Jordan.
There's so many of you. Thank you so much. You keep our lights on. You remind us to leave our light on. You pay our bills so we can leave the light on in the metaphorical studio. And we're
yeah, it's very, getting more expensive grateful. The more indie boys like demand that we keep the light on all the time. So
yeah, we
it's
have
really
so
important.
Many lamps.
It really is getting to be a lot, but luckily it's all very affordable thanks to all of you. So
thank you guys so much, and thank you for listening. If you're here, that means that you're enjoying what we're putting out there, and we appreciate your engagement and your support, regardless of whether or not you're on Patreon. You can say hi on other social media places, and we'll still love you very much. Hey, Megan, where are you on the internet?
I'm on Twitter at MeganKelleher3. Where are you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie, that's N-E-D-A Marie, on Twitter and Instagram, and also N_ice skating if you want to watch me skate. And also you can find both of us over at IcedPod on Twitter and Instagram. You can see some videos that Megan posted from her Providence adventure. And I think that's it.
I think that's it too. So we will probably see you guys after the holidays. We'll talk about like every nationals is happening around like that week. And we hope everybody has a wonderful holiday season and stays warm and gets to do some awesome things in the cold weather or warm weather. Enjoy weather. Whatever your weather is, enjoy your weather.
And now the weather, everyone. Love you very much. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.